There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. This is a special weekend edition, podcast number 592. And of course, that means an interview. And this week's special interview is Jack Hawksworth of Star Mazda Series. Great driver, up-and-coming talent. Nasser, introduce this young man.
Thank you, sir. First of all, my thanks to Jack for his time. Jack Hawksworth is a young English talent whose career is on a fast track. He's been racing in karting for many years, was very successful, won the very prestigious Margutti Championship, which is named after one of Giancarlo Fisichella's childhood friend. And he was racing in Formula Renault last year in Britain, and they have this what used to be called the Winter Series. They've changed the name. And in that series, he did six races and was on pole for every race, and then finished in the fourth in the main championship last year. And I think he did a very good move. He came to the U.S. in Star Mazda Series. Oh boy, he's having a hard time finishing off the podium. He has won quite a few races, and looks like he's going to run away with the championship in his rookie year in American racing. And if you win the championship, you get a fully funded ride in Indy Lights, courtesy of Mazda. So I wish him all the best and would like to thank him again. And please check out his website also.
Oh, hey, Nasser. How's it going?
Fine, thank you, sir. Are you ready for your big interview today?
Yeah, I'm ready, man.
Okay. If I may ask, what part of the country am I reaching you?
I'm in Florida.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. How is the weather?
Yeah, no, it's hot.
Oh, really?
Really hot. So, weather's good.
Okay. And how are we doing on time? Do you have some time, or do you have to hang out with some chicks in the next 10, 15 minutes?
No, I've got time, don't worry.
You got time? Okay, great. Okay. Cool. On your website, www.jackhawksworth.co.uk, it says, at the end of the 2011 season, the decision was made for Jack to pursue opportunities in America. Question I have is, who made this smart decision, and did you have any concerns about crossing the pond?
Yeah, it was sort of like a decision at the end of last year that I'm with a management company called WHSG. A guy called Chris Hartfield who runs it, and I started speaking with him sort of middle of last year. And then at the end of the season, we sort of sat down, we looked at his options, and where the best place to sort of like take the next step in my career was. And we both decided on the American route, and it just worked out really well.
You are making quite a splash in Star Mazda Championship this year, two wins and two second place finishes in the first four races. Was this early success a surprise for you?
The beginning of the season, we signed with Team Pelfrey at the end of last year. They're a really, really professional outfit. So we knew we were going to have an opportunity to run at the front, that was for sure. And after the winter testing and the time I'd been able to have in the car, I felt pretty confident going into the season. So I wouldn't say the results were a surprise, but it was obviously it was really nice, and it was a vindication of sort of all of the work which everyone had put in prior to the season starting. You know, to see it pay off was really nice.
Yeah, Team Pelfrey is pretty good. Did you test with other teams also, or this was love at first sight?
Yeah, it was love at first sight. We obviously tested with them, those guys, for the first time at the Road to Indy test last year, and just immediately, maybe a couple of 2 or 3 weeks after, we signed a deal, and we were going racing.
Well, very good. Round 5 and 6 were on ovals. What was your first impression of racing and turning only left?
Yeah, it's different. Obviously, the majority of the circuits this year are street and road courses, but there's a couple of ovals thrown in there as well. And the biggest thing I found was I found it quite easy to get up to speed, like lap time wise and stuff. But the biggest difference for me is the actual racing. Like you're so close to the other drivers at such high speeds, and you've got to trust in the other drivers around you that they make the right calls on the racetrack and stuff. Whilst on maybe a street circuit, you have more control over, overtaking a driver, or you don't have to quite show as much respect. Whilst on an oval, you have to be, very considerate of everybody around you, and it's very easy to make a mistake and have contact. So the racing side of things was a big eye opener, but it's just been, the oval side of things has been a big learning curve.
Now, in oval racing, they say there are two types of drivers, those who have hit the wall and those who will hit the wall. Question I have is, since the wall is never far, no matter where you are on an oval track, as a driver, do you consider this as more dangerous, or you just put on your helmet and go racing?
Yeah, I've never been massive in, I've never taken huge consideration to whether it was dangerous or not. It's clearly very different, and at first, it's quite daunting, but now, it's part of the series, it's part of American racing, and I just put my helmet on and I went for it.
Good. Apart from America, you must be loving Canada also. 4 races and 3 victories north of the border just this month alone. What's going on here?
Yeah, it's been a nice couple of weeks for us, because obviously I had a big accident in Iowa, and that put us sort of after the great start to the season. That put us on the back foot a little bit, and then we knew that the two great sort of street circuits, Toronto and Edmonton, that hopefully that played to our strengths a little bit. And it's been a crazy couple of weeks. We've won 3 of the last 4 races, and we're leading the championship again. And everybody's obviously really happy about it. I'm delighted with how the last few weeks have gone in Canada.
Great. Now, this question is very important. There are 17 races in your championship this season. 7 remain. So far, you have 5 wins and leading the championship. How much is the driver and how much is the car? And let's see how humble you are.
Yeah, it's I've been in all the situations sort of like throughout my karting career and also my car racing career where I've been in not great equipment and then I've been in great equipment. And it's a complete balancing act. You won't win races without a good car, and if you've not got a good car, you'll struggle. And unfortunately, this year, I've got a great car, and I'm able to get the results with it. But I'd say it's 50. I'd say it's 50-50. As is everything with racing, it's all this big balancing act, and there's so many variables, so many different things that the driver can do, so many different things on a race car, and so many, people focused on one car. It's you have to get every little piece of the puzzle right, and then you can win. Until that point, it doesn't matter how good you are, it doesn't matter, how much work you put in on the driving side. It's a big puzzle, and you've got to put all the right pieces together. You've got to have the right team around you. You've got to have the right car, and of course, you've got to have the right driver as well. So it's a big puzzle. You put it all together, and you get the result. That's been the case this year for us. It's sort of come together so far.
Now, if the driver is good and the car is also very good, how important is this puzzle, the chemistry between the driver and the engineer and the technicians on the car?
Yeah, that's part of what makes the car good in a way. It's the people working on the car, which they tune the car, they maintain the car, they prep the car. It's really important, and especially the relationship between the driver and his team, especially the driver-engineer relationship. That's one this year which has been really good. I've never had a relationship which has been as strong with my engineers the one I've had this year. We've learned to really, we've built a really good, strong relationship, and when we get to the circuit now, he knows what I need from the car. I know, you know, what he wants feedback-wise from me, and it's a huge trust thing as well. You know, he trusts me deeply, I trust him deeply, and that relationship is possibly the biggest key to success, I would say.
Great. Do you find the racing atmosphere in America similar to Europe, or do you feel major changes in certain areas? And I'm talking both on and off the track.
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. I actually think it's quite different. I think outside of the track, I think the fans over here are really, you know, they're excited about racing. And the last couple of races in Canada as well have been a bit of an eye-opener for me. You know, they really love the racing and stuff like this, and being at the street tracks and stuff like that, it's a bit more of a festival atmosphere over here compared to what I was used to in Europe. On the track, racing-wise, I also think it's quite different. The circuits are one of the biggest things. In Europe, we tend to have a lot of, you know, big road courses with a lot of runoff, a lot of room for error. You know, places like Silverstone and stuff like that, great legendary circuits, but with, you know, you make an error at Silverstone, you run off onto, 100 feet of asphalt, and you don't get punished for it. Whilst over here, especially in the IndyCar series, it's, you know, the main circuit you race on a street circuit with some ovals, and on all of those types of circuit, there's no room for error. And street tracks, you make a mistake, you're in the wall. Ovals, you make a mistake, and you're in the wall. And I actually think that's a really good thing because it puts more of an emphasis on the driver to, you know, be consistent, to not make mistakes. And so I think in terms of, like, the racing side of things, I think I also have really enjoyed the American way this year as well. And I guess another big thing is the amount of cautions that we have in America compared to Europe. Like, I think last year in Formula Renault, we had 2 safety car periods in the entire season, whilst I think in Star Mazda this year, we've had probably nearly 2 in each race, and that's all to do with the you know, the nature of the circuits as well. So you've got to be really on top of your restarts and stuff like that to be you know, if you want to do well, it's not all about speed. It's, you know, with all of these restarts and stuff like that, you know, it's even bigger in IndyCar where they have the strategy, which plays a big part. So it's really interesting. I've really enjoyed it.
Great. Now, this next question is for all our young male listeners. Which part of the which side of the pond has better looking grid girls?
Well, I can't really comment, actually, because I don't think I've seen any grid girls in America as of yet. But hopefully that'll change at Three Rivers, because I've heard that's a bit of a wild race. But I'm guessing it's Europe 1, American Hill at the moment in that department.
So I'll ask you the same question at the end of the season. Hopefully you've had some good viewing by then.
Sounds good, yeah.
Okay, now that you're in the land of milk and honey and Diet Pepsi, as I like to call America, what has been the biggest surprise for you in America or American way of doing things off the track? Like when you go to the grocery store or when you're on the road, what surprises you most compared to Europe?
I guess the biggest thing is the space that you guys have over here. Like, you know, compared to England, especially, you know, we're really, really heavily populated country with not much space. So, you know, there's stuff going on almost everywhere, and you can pretty much walk or catch a train to any, you know, anywhere you need to go. Whilst you know, here, especially in America, I guess, you know, you're driving the cars everywhere, and if you want to go down to the grocery shop, you can't walk down there. You've got to drive 2 or 3 miles to get there. So, it's different in that respect.
Yeah. Have you done some long road trips here? I mean, wait till you come to Southwest United States or Texas. I mean, it's just, you really get the idea how big this place is. Have you taken some long road trips?
Well, I actually went from... driven to Alabama from Tampa, so that was quite a big one. We went from Tampa, where I'm based, and we drove up with the team to the Barber Motorsport part, which was the second round. And also on the way back, my roommate, actually the Indy Lights driver, Alan Day.
Mm-hmm.
And on the way back from Barber after the race had finished on the Sunday night, we we did the 12-hour trip from, I think it was 10 or 11 hours actually, from Barbara back to Tampa through the night. So yeah, I've got it. You know, it's a big old road trip just to, and that's just a small part of the States as well. So
yeah, no, it's a I would highly recommend before you head back to Europe, take a trip in Southwest United States, California, Arizona, New Mexico, and other places also. I mean, the road trips are fantastic here. Okay, now this next question, very important, and we ask all drivers who come to America from overseas. Have you developed a taste for hot dogs and cheeseburgers yet?
I've managed to stay away from that, fortunately. I've not let myself quite get dragged down to the old cheeseburgers and stuff, but that's one thing I've managed to keep away of, fortunately, because otherwise I think we might be having a weight issue in the inside the pelvic area.
Okay, is Petri Suvanto one of your teammates?
Yeah, I'm teammates with Petri.
Yeah, you know, he's a good guy, and he's also based in Florida. When I asked him the question when he came to America, what was one of the biggest surprises for him, he said what he really enjoyed here initially was a thing called Redneck Burger, which I believe is very popular in Florida. So you might ask Petri to treat you to a Redneck Burger.
I'll make sure next time I see him, I'll ask him about that. He's not mentioned it yet.
Yeah, and please say hello to him for me, if you don't mind.
I will do, yeah.
Okay, now, last year you raced in Formula Renault UK and finished fourth. And this is what I really like about your career, what you did. You had 6 pole positions from 6 races in what used to be the Winter Series. I believe they've changed the name now. Tell us about those 6 poles. I mean, that is very, very impressive. And what were highs and lows of your time in Formula Renault?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Winter Series was the first time I'd raced in Formula cars and coming just out of karting. So it was we jumped into the Formula Renault, and then it was the Winter Series was fantastic. Obviously, getting all of the pole positions in all of the races, and I think I finished third in the series. To be honest, if I'd had a little bit more experience just with the starts and stuff like that, it could have been higher. So I mean, that was definitely a high point. And I guess that the condition, I mean, the Winter Series was basically most of the time wet for qualifying. And I've always been had quite a good feel in the wet, so I was obviously able to capitalise on that. And yeah, it was great to get all the pole positions and the podiums and stuff like that. It was pretty awesome championship for us. And then the following season, I did the full UK campaign. And I mean, obviously finished fourth in the series and had a win and a pole and stuff, but didn't quite, obviously, coming off the back of such a strong Winter Series, which, you know, was against, top opposition. I expected to be challenging for the championship last year in Renault, but it didn't quite play out, and we had a few hiccups along the way, and I changed teams halfway through the season and stuff. So it was a bit of a messy season, really. But I mean, I learned a lot from it, and I think that's helped me this year. Maybe some mistakes I made last year and stuff like that has helped me this season.
Had you stayed in Europe and not come to the US, what series would you have gone for this season?
I'm not sure, really. That's an interesting question. It's actually not one I've really thought about much, because it was already, by September last year, we were already so decided that we wanted to come to America.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a decision which we were already like, okay, you know, before the season even finished, we were like, this is the place we need to go, this is the place we need to be. So we didn't really even think about where we might go if we stayed in Europe. I'm guessing the categories over there, which would have maybe been similar to Mazda, would have been something like GP3 or Formula 3. But being quite honestly, it didn't make sense for us to go that direction. And also we didn't really have the budget needed to put something together to do that.
No, I think you made a very good decision, because, I understand it's almost close to $1 million in GP3 and British F3. And since you have only just done 1 year of racing, I think this is a smart decision and will pay good dividends for you down the road.
I hope so. Thank you. I think it's a really great decision. And I thought it was a good decision ever since we made it, to be honest. I mean, the fact that over here, with the road to Indy, you know, the scholarships at the end of the season, it's a guarantee that you're going to, if you win the championship in F2000, you will be racing in Mazda. If you win the championship in Mazda, you will be racing in Indy Lights. And that guarantee is something which is non-existent in Europe. Just because you win a series in Europe, it doesn't mean that you know, you're guaranteed anything for the next season. So I really like the way IndyCar's going at the moment. The entire IndyCar series, in my opinion, is fantastic, and the Mazda Road to Indies.
And you,
it's just night and day compared to Europe.
Yeah, and you know, a racing driver puts bread on the table by racing. I mean, if you look at the financial benefits of American racing, I was talking to Trevor Carlin last April, and I was so shocked when he told me that when you win the GP2 championship, which is one step below Formula One, there is no prize money, nothing for the driver, nothing for the team from the series. You know, Pirelli may throw you a bone. But, I mean, here, you know, it can be so lucrative financially if you are successful, and you have to be successful no matter where you race. Okay, now, going back to your karting days, tell us a little bit about your BRDC Stars of Tomorrow Championship and third in the British Super 1 Series.
Oh, I mean, that was back in, like, 2006, I guess. That was back in my final year of juniors. And the two domestic championships in England are the BRDC, the BRDC Stars of Tomorrow Championship and the British Super 1 Series. So back in 2006, I would have been, I guess, 14 years old at the beginning of the year, maybe 15 at the end, and I had a great season that year. Actually, we won the European Rotax Championship, and then we had a third in the Super 1, which was like the British Championship, and second in the Stars of Tomorrow, which was like another domestic championship and stuff. So I had a really, really fun year that year, and it was one of my most successful in juniors anyway.
Yeah. What is harder to win in karting? Is karting more competitive in jolly old England, or is it tougher on the continent, especially in Italy?
There's a lot of good karting drivers who come from England. I guess it depends which category you're in as well. I mean, at the time when I was racing in Rotax, the British Championship and stuff was probably more competitive than the European. But then once I moved to KZ karting, continental karting was more competitive than the British. So, I mean, I guess you would have to say that the level in Europe totally, when you put together England, France and Italy and everything, is higher than just solely England. But if you were going by nation, I don't think there's many championships which are harder than the British Championships.
Okay. Was winning the Margutti Trophy the biggest highlight of your karting career?
I would say it was one of the highlights, definitely. That was a great weekend. Obviously, I just signed for Energy at the beginning of the year, which was an Italian team, and it was my second or third race with Energy, and it was a great weekend for us. It all sort of came together, and we were able to win that, which was a very prestigious race, and you know, you've got a lot of really successful drivers who won that trophy, so that was a pretty special weekend.
Now, you raced with Pete De Bruyne's karting team. Did they ever tell you any stories about one of their ex-drivers, little Kimi Raikkonen?
I raced for Peter for 2 years, actually, once in 2008 and once in 2010. I heard quite a lot about Kimi. He's also got, like, back at the PDV workshop, they've got a lot of Kimi Raikkonen's old suits and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay.
And his old cars as well.
Yeah. Did they ever tell you about him that he was very quick, or they are not surprised at the level of success he has achieved? What was their opinion of him when he raced with them, if you can share that with us?
Yeah, I think Peter was a big fan of Kimi. Like you said, I think he was always really, really, really quick, naturally. And from the stuff that I heard from Peter about him, Peter wasn't totally shocked to see Kimi do, you know, obviously became a world champion. So he obviously made a big impression on that team.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, now in a couple of years, if you have a choice, which way will you turn? Fully sponsored ride in Indy cars with Penske Racing or a fully funded ride in GP2 with iSport International?
Or any other
top GP2 team?
I'd rather be racing in IndyCar for Penske than in GP2, that's for sure.
Okay, good. Okay, as a racing driver, and you are very good, so hopefully one of these or both of them will happen for you. As a racing driver, what will mean more to you, drinking milk at the Brickyard or spraying champagne in Monte Carlo after winning in Formula Uno?
Yeah, I mean, they're both obviously fantastic, would be fantastic achievements. I guess if obviously growing up in Europe, Monaco is a really, really special event, but having been over here for the year, and obviously the Indianapolis 500 is such a big race that, you know, I can't really pick one, if I'm being honest. I think that they'd both be spectacular. I mean, my dream at the moment, you know, this time in my career would be to drive for either, you know, Roger Penske, Chip Ganassi, or Andretti, being in America and stuff at the minute. So to drive, to be successful and to win championships and 500s for one of those three teams would be, been pretty special.
Well, I tell you what, if you do what you're doing this year for another 2 years, you will be with Penske or Chip. They're always looking for top talent.
Yeah, I hope so. I'd love to have my chance in IndyCar and hopefully prove I deserve one.
Yeah. Okay, finally, please tell our listeners about Jack Hawksworth, the young man, not the race car driver. A little bit about your taste in music, food, and especially what other sports you enjoy apart from motor racing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess music's pretty wide variety. I've got I like a blend, really, bit of sort of like just general top 40, top 100 Billboard, I guess you guys call it over here, that sort of stuff, and then quite like a little bit of hip hop and stuff like that. And food-wise, I'm big on Italian food, having sort of spent a year over there when I was with Energy. So I really love the Italian food, and also a big fan of like fish and stuff like that. Sushi is another one of my favourites. Sporting wise, I actually, before I started racing, I used to actually be a soccer player. When I was like sort of like 10, 11, that's what I wanted to grow up to be. And I used to play soccer nearly, I think we were playing six times a week at one point. So I love soccer. I used to love soccer as well, and I play a bit of tennis and stuff like that. So yeah, I guess tennis and soccer are the two other sports which I follow.
Okay, great, great. Okay, man, I really thank you for your time. I wish you well in your racing career, and I would like to catch up with you after you've won the championship.
let's hope so.
Okay, man, you have a pleasant evening, and thank you again.
Oh, yeah, great talking with you, Nasser.
You too. Cheers.
Cheers, man. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Jack, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com.